Okay, well, do what we did last time. We'll sing the song first. That's a nice way to begin. So get out your song sheets. And I didn't test this ahead of time, but I believe this one is Ekona Bhujina Prabhu. Is that the right one? Everybody set? Page number is 15. We're all ready.
Ekona Bhujina Prabhu.
I just want to check and see what the next song. Okay. So this, just rewind it just a tad, just a little bit. So this will save the second song for later. This section is Avasya Rakibe Krishna Vishvas Palana in his Bengali language. The section on faith in Krishna as being one's protector. And in sequence, it follows behind seeing the Supreme Lord as one's maintainer. This section is indicating not only material protection, but ultimately also spiritual protection. So read the translation for this first song. I know now your divine feet are a refuge free from all sorrow and fear, eternally full of sweet nectar. At the soles of those feet I surrender myself and all I possess. That's Atmanivedana. O Lord, there is no other protection but you in this world of birth and death. So this is mixing, rejecting all other shelters along with accepting the one shelter. The mixture of, so the anukul and pratikul is the mixture of anukul, rejecting all other shelters. Do you have some Matajis that want to come in? They're going. Okay. At last I know myself to be your eternal servant whose maintenance I have been ensured. So this is, he's going back to maintenance. Mixing, but all with the mood of surrender. Life before, without you, held nothing but sorrow. Now I live free from all misery. Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, desiring such a place at your lotus feet, executed austerities. Only after securing a place by your lotus feet did Lord Shiva attain his Shivatva, or quality of auspiciousness. He's giving a little spiritual teaching here. How are we to see the goddess of fortune in relation to the Supreme Lord? How are we to see Lord Shiva in relation to the Supreme Lord? So they, although their Lakshmi is the possessor of all opulence, she derives her position as a surrendered soul at the feet of the Lord. And Lord Shiva achieved or attained his quality of auspiciousness, or shivatva, same way, by attaining a place at your lotus feet. Lord Brahma, upon obtaining those feet, also became successful in his life, and the great sage Narada Muni held those two feet to his heart. Your lotus feet drive away all fear. Having held them to my head, I will dance in great ecstasy, singing their glories. Your lotus feet will deliver Bhakti Vinod from the perils of this worldly journey. So he's following this dedication of himself to the Lord's lotus feet. He's feeling protected. In this feeling of protection, he's free from fear. You can recall in the very beginning there were three specific impetuses for surrender. One of them was fear. Another one was frustration. Another one was knowledge. So when one is surrendered, one is free from fear, one is free from frustration, and one has knowledge. Realized knowledge. So it's this possession of protection, sensing the Lord as one's protector, is the place of fearlessness. We find in the character of surrendered souls that they're fearless. Can anyone think of some examples of exalted devotees who are fearless? Prahlad Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj. Haridas Thakur, very good. Bali Maharaj. Chitraketu, yeah. And many, many examples. You got one? Hanuman? What did you say? A little louder?
Romaharshan.
He was another category. Okay, so fearless. Fear, again, fear may be a motivation for surrendering, but once one has shelter at the lotus feet, one is no longer moved by that emotion of fear. One becomes fearless. The sense of protection makes one fearless. So, here's a quote from Nectar of Devotion, where specifically this is a quality of Krishna. You know that section of Nectar Devotion where the 64 qualities of Krishna are itemized? So one of them, number 37, is Krishna is the protector of surrendered souls. Here's what Prabhupada writes in Nectar Devotion. Krishna is the protector of all surrendered souls. Some enemy of Krishna, doesn't say which enemy of Krishna, but some enemy of Krishna was enlivened with the thought that he needn't fear Krishna, because if he simply surrendered to him, Krishna would give him all protection. They'll go to fight Krishna, and if Krishna is becoming victorious and I'm getting defeated, no problem. I'll just surrender to Krishna, and he'll protect me. Krishna is sometimes compared to the moon, which does not hesitate to distribute its soothing rays even on the houses of the chandalas and untouchables. That's Prabhupada's statement about Krishna's quality of being a protector of surrendered souls. So, in the terminology that's used to identify this limb of surrender, it's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Sanskrit, it's Rakshisha Titi Vishvasa. So, what does the term Vishvasa mean? Anybody know? Huh? Faith. Yeah. It's particularly, it means very strong faith or strong conviction. Strong faith, strong conviction. Krishna will protect. Therefore, iti. Thus, Krishna will protect me. There's no doubt in my mind. And what ways does Krishna protect his surrendered devotee? One is, we mentioned one already, he removes us from that fear, protects us from that very, very disturbing emotion of fear. And another is the anxieties that accompany just everyday life. Not only fear that some monster is going to attack or some dangerous person, but just he protects us from day-to-day anxieties. Maybe some of you can just think back and before how it was for you before you became a devotee, and just everyday things, everyday things, everyday things, anxiety, anxiety. And somehow, by living a life in devotional service, it's gone. Or largely it's gone. Now maybe there are certain things that are anxiety or stress producing in your life now. But in a large way, by taking shelter of Krishna, very quickly, just day to day stresses and anxieties, they're just mitigated. Isn't it fact? You know, like things that just ordinary people get all bent out of shape over. Like somebody cuts in front of them in line. I watch this when I travel a lot. People get all upset. Hey! We're standing in line. And so many things, so many things, so many things happen. Because the devotee knows Krishna is going to protect me. It's no problem. When I was, before coming to India, many devotees were advising me, don't come to India. Because BBC, the British Broadcasting Company, or whatever its corporation, was advising British citizens, if you're contemplating international travel, better not. And in places where there are very, because there's a war going on in Afghanistan, in places where there's very large Muslim population, you have a British passport, a British body, especially don't go to those places. So I'm sure Americans are not popular amongst the Muslims here in India. There are lots of things that aren't popular with Muslims these days. But, you know, white-bodied American citizens probably really high on the unpopular list. Or then going to Muscat, you know, in the Gulf countries. Dubai and Muscat, I was planning to go. So if you go to, the devotees were saying, if you go to India, please don't go to Muscat. Please don't go to the Gulf. But I checked and researched, and they're actually very friendly. So I had, you know, I had to take precautions, but when I went, when I gave my passport to the guy at the immigration, he just was making jokes. He said, I've never seen a green one before. They're always blue. How come your passport's green? They talked to his friend in Arabic something. And okay, green. It was humorous. It was... So... I wasn't in any anxiety. I could say some other things, but this isn't being recorded. I don't think I'll do it. But there are other circumstances, even in the course of this travel, that I just was thinking, I have some service to do for Krishna. If Krishna wants, I'll be able to do that service very peacefully. If Krishna doesn't want, he'll let me know. But I don't see any clear indication that Krishna doesn't want me to even try. So, I feel protected by Krishna. This wasn't an anxiety. It was nice. There were lots of other people that were anxiety about my coming, but I wasn't in any anxiety. And as this section, we read some more. Krishna protects one spiritually as well as materially. We'll be specific about it. And another very nice thing about this item of protection is when one is surrendered to Krishna, not only in our stages of protection, but Krishna protects one in such a way that he removes our material involvement and brings us to reverential devotion, and even into the stages of Madhurya Rasa. We're going to read some things. Krishna has great affinity for his surrendered souls, and he just takes care of his devotees. Here's something about reverential devotion from Nectar of Devotion. So, it's chapter 40, Nectar of Devotion. The chapter heading is reverential devotion. Here's the first paragraph of the chapter. True reverential devotion is exhibited by persons who think themselves subordinate to Krishna and by persons who think themselves sons of Krishna. Everybody's subordinate to Krishna, but particularly those who think of themselves in that way, this is called reverential devotion. The best examples of this subordination are Sharana, Gada, and Subhadra. They were all members of the Yadu dynasty, and they always used to think of themselves protected by Krishna. Similarly, Krishna's sons, the ones that are mentioned here, are Pradyumna and Charudeshna and Samba. Right? Samba is one of Krishna's sons. What do we know about Samba, Krishna Das? You know about Samba? What?
Son of Krishna.
Yeah, he's the son of Krishna. Samba's the one who had that big stone and was pretending that he was pregnant, came before the sages and asked, "O soothsayers, please tell whether this will be a boy or a girl." He was mocking the sages. He'll say, "You will give birth to..." And the other boys were thinking, not a trace of envy. They were thinking, how exalted is this soul? How many years and lifetimes of austerities has he performed in order to sit on the lap of Supreme Lord Krishna and receive his affection in this way? And amongst all the sons of Krishna, Pradyumna was considered to be most fortunate. And one of the characteristics of Pradyumna, well, there's two we'll mention. One of them was his bodily characteristics looked identical with Krishna's. So although Krishna was the father and Pradyumna was the son, Krishna never aged beyond that of a youth. He means his appearance never appeared to be getting gray and wrinkly and, you know, the signs of age just weren't there. So his son, when he was a young man, also was youthful and had same complexion as Krishna, wore the same color clothing as Krishna, and sometimes people would think that Krishna was Pradyumna or Pradyumna was Krishna. And so he was considered by all the other brothers, sons of Krishna, and there were a lot of them. Krishna had 16,000 wives. With each of the wives, he had 10 sons. It's a lot of brothers. 160,000 brothers. And 108. 161,800. So, Pradyumna was considered to be the most fortunate amongst them. And this reverential devotion feature of Pradyumna, it's said that specifically in Nectar Devotion, it says about Pradyumna that if ever Pradyumna wanted to do something and Krishna gave some indication otherwise, he wanted something else, he would immediately stop the thing he wanted to do and do what Krishna wanted. And just the other way around. If he didn't want to do something and Krishna indicated that he wanted it to be done, he would do it. So he subjugated his desires to Krishna's desires. What are some of the examples you can think of where Krishna showed his, in a very special way, Krishna showed his wanting to give protection to his devotees? There's a number of them, but some very prominent ones. Krishna is protecting his devotees from... Vrindavan. Forest fire? That's protected devotees from the forest fire. He protected Draupadi. And Uttara. He lived at Govardhan Hill. Very famous.
Tukaram.
Okay. I'm thinking from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah. Kaliya serpent. Yeah, because the Kaliya serpent was wiping out everybody. Just what to speak of drinking the water, even just going in the vicinity, the fumes of poison were so intense that all the foliage was dying. And any birds that flew over... Yeah, everything was dying because of the presence of the Kaliya serpent. So Krishna protected the residents of Vrindavan from his influence. What else? Queen Kunti and the Pandavas. They were put in so many difficulties, and Krishna every time protected them. Draupadi, yeah. That was mentioned earlier. Maharaj Pariksit. Uttara, that was mentioned. Yeah. Okay. One, yes? I can't hear. Who? Which Maharaj?
Nanda Maharaj.
Nanda Maharaj, yeah. One very famous one was Krishna protecting Arjuna when grandfather Bhishma took his vow that I will either have Krishna break his promise or I'll kill Arjuna. And I definitely don't want to kill Arjuna. But I'll do it if Krishna doesn't break his promise. Right? You know that. So I'll just read a little bit. This is Prabhupada in a lecture on Queen Kunti's prayers. Prabhupada's saying, so Kunti Devi says, Yesham na chanyad bhavata padam bhujat. We have no means of protection other than your lotus feet. This is full surrender. Now Kunti says, my dear Krishna, if you think that we are well established, now that we have our kingdom back, And if you therefore want to leave us, that is not a very good proposal. We are not free yet, because we have killed so many kings. All their friends and relatives are planning to come and fight with us. So don't think that we are free from all dangers. We are not. And we have no protection other than your lotus feet. That is our position. She indirectly says to Krishna, don't leave us. Don't think that we are safe. Without your protection, we are unsafe. This should be the position of a devotee. We should know that we are actually in danger in this material world. Maya, illusion, may catch us at any time. As soon as we are a little inattentive, thinking, now I have done my duty, let me take a little rest. No, there is no rest. We must always be alert. Remember, I was giving this explanation, resting on your laurels. I've achieved so much in devotional service. A little siesta. A little break. No. Krishna protects the yogi or the devotee who is undergoing difficulty on Krishna's behalf. Prabhupada is describing this in the fourth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, those yogis that go to the forest to perform austerities, they're able to concentrate their mind because they know that they'll always be protected by the Supreme Lord upon whom they're meditating within their hearts. So Prabhupada writes, to cease from personal sense endeavors and to concentrate on the Supreme Cause is a sign of self-surrender. And when self-surrender is present, that is a sure sign of devotional service. Each and every living entity needs to engage in devotional service to the Lord if he wishes to understand the ultimate cause of his existence. So now from Bhagavad Gita, a little Bhagavad Gita quiz time. What are the verses in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna speaks about protection? Very good. Krishna promises to give protection from reactions to sinful activities. What's another example? Yoga kshema vahamyaham. Kshema, protection. He preserves or protects what we have, and vahamyaham, he brings what we're lacking. Very good. Another one. Name bhakta pranashyati. My devotee is never vanquished, he's always delivered quickly. Very good. That, you know the verse? Which number? Chapter 9, text number? 31. There's another one that comes right after that, 34. You have a hard time with that last line. Try it again. Very good. And the meaning?
Even if a great advancement on this path can protect us from all types of...
Yeah, basically protect us from fall down. Okay. There's one specifically Krishna says who protect us from the greatest type of fear. Shirupati. Okay, Krishna will protect us from fear. But Krishna's got us covered. He protects us from fear. He protects us from fall down. He protects us from being vanquished. He protects us from sinful reactions. He's a very good protector. If we just surrender to Krishna, engage in his service, surely we'll be protected. So now here's another. This is fun, huh? Here's another. There's a nice reference in Chaitanya Charitamrita that comes in the section Madhya Lila chapter 20, where Lord Chaitanya is instructing Sanatana Goswami about the ways of devotional service. And he describes the story of Sarvagya. You know that story? Sarvagya the astrologer. You know the story, Tirupati? Yeah. The story goes, Lord Chaitanya is telling an example, he's giving an example to explain the value of this human form of life. So once upon a time, there was a very poor man, and the poor man was lamenting and lamenting and lamenting. And one astrologer came along and said, "Why are you lamenting? Don't you know that your father was extremely wealthy? And he gave you a special inheritance of a treasure and he buried it?" "Oh yes. And I can tell you how you can get to that treasure. In fact, it's very close at hand. But you better be very careful when you approach the treasure. If you approach on the northern side, there's wasps and drones. On the western side, there's ghosts. And the southern side, there's a big snake. You go to the eastern side." And so the wasps and drones are indicating the treasure is devotional service and one's loving relationship with Krishna. If one tries to approach that through fruitive activities, wasps and drones biting and stinging, and it's all very painful. And mystic yoga, the black snake come and swallow you. And speculative process is compared to ghosts will come and spook you, make you go mad. So here's how Prabhupada, there's a long story that has no purports, and then there's some purport. Yeah. So a yaksha. What's a yaksha? Anybody know what a yaksha is? A demon. Not exactly.
Follower of Kuvera.
Follower of Kuvera. What is Kuvera's? What does he do?
He's a treasure of
heaven. He's a treasure of heaven. So what do the followers of Kuvera do? They protect the treasury. In a general sense, a yaksha is a protector of riches. Just like in the Mahabharata story where Yudhisthira is confronted by a yaksha. He wants water from the lake. So the yaksha is in the lake and he comes out, a voice comes, and then he comes. "You can't take this water without first answering my questions." Yaksha is a protector of riches. So a yaksha will not allow anyone to take away riches for enjoyment. Such a demon will simply create disturbances. In other words, a devotee will not depend on his material resources, but on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who can give real protection. This is called Rakshishyatiti Vishvasa, Vishvasa Palana. This is a purport right from Chaitanya Charitamrita. The surrendered soul must accept the fact that his real protector is Krishna, not his material acquisitions. Considering all these points, devotional service to Krishna is the real treasure house for the living entity. When he comes to the platform of devotional service, he always remains opulent in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he goes through wasps, drones, and ghosts. This means when one comes to the spiritual platform, he'll be disturbed and will again return to the material platform. Such people may become sannyasis, but unless they take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, they will return to the material platform, etc. This is like being devoured by the black snake. Okay. There's another nice one from, well, there's several of them, but one from Nectar of Devotion. From Nectar of Devotion, there's a quote from the 11th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. My dear king, so apparently this is the Navayogendras speaking with Maharaj Nimi. My dear king, a person who has given up the worship of the demigods and has completely concentrated his energy in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes very, very dear to the Lord. As such, if by chance or mistake he does something which is forbidden, there is no need for him to perform any purificatory ceremonies. Because the Lord is situated within his heart, he takes compassion for the devotee's accidental mistake and corrects him from within. So Krishna's protection from mistakes. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma. Huh? That same verse you quoted. So when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, he not only protected the residents of Vrindavan, but he also protected Indra from his pride. He protected Indra from his own spiritual mistake. Because Krishna could have just blasted Indra. But what he did instead was he corrected his heart by making him humble, because his problem was pride. So he curbed his pride. He protected him from his own pride. This is part of Krishna's quality of protection. Two more. I mean, there's many more. Maybe I'll do a few more. In one of the Sharanagati songs, Bhaktivinoda Thakur refers to Krishna's protecting his devotees by the killing of the Agha and the Bhaka demons. And by doing this, killing of the Agha and Bhaka demon, you're protecting your devotees. So, some of you may be familiar with the fact that in Krishna Samhita and also Chaitanya Shikshamrita, these are two books by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, both of these books he's explained that amongst the principal demons that were killed by Krishna, by principal demons this means Krishna killed every day for the whole time that he was in Vrindavan going out and herding the cows. And even before then, just in his own home, Shakatasura and Putana and Trinavarta, even before he went into the forests, every day when he was in the forest, around about 11 o'clock, it was killing demons time. And sometimes it was 2 and 3 encounters with different demons or groups of demons. And And then right after that, it was time for lunch. It was like part of Krishna's daily program. But so what we read in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam is not all, but some of the principal demons that were killed. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that this killing of demons by Krishna represents his protecting the devotees from the obstacles and the path of pure devotional service. We can count on Krishna's protection. Like, for example, who was the first demon that Krishna killed in his childhood pastimes? Putana. Now I could go off and take about half an hour describing about Putana's previous life and so on. But Putana was a dedicated, hardcore witch whose business it was, she was like a hired child killer. That was her thing. That's what she did for a living. She went and killed children. And when she killed them, she drank their blood. Putana was bad. Real bad. And that was one of Kamsa's friends, Putana. And it's the first demon that Kamsa sent to kill Krishna. But Putana was very powerful. She had mystic powers that she could transform herself into whatever shape she liked. So she transformed, Sataputta calls this, shape-changing demons. They could assume, like Keshi. Keshi was a big horse, but he was so big, he could jump over a mountain in one jump. Or Aristasura. And Keshi was one of the last demons. Keshi was a king. He was like a guy. He was just like, you know, a king. But at the very end, the last two demons that were sent by Kamsa to kill Krishna were Keshi and Vyomasura. But Keshi was, anyway, he was very old. Very, very, very old king. Kshatriya. But he was very, very austere. And through these austerities, he had this shape-changing capacity. So he changed himself, changed himself into a horse. Anyway, Putana changed herself into a very, very, very beautiful woman. So beautiful that when she went under the order of Kamsa to kill Krishna, she entered right into the house where Nanda Maharaj lived. And the arrangement in the households was that the outer part of the house is where the men would reside and the women would reside in the inner part of the house. And they were divided. The men didn't go beyond their allotted space. They just didn't go. Just like our, I don't know if you're aware of this, but at the Krishna Balaram Mandir, Prabhupada designed it like that. Aside from the guest houses where our guests stay in, there's another column of residences right in the middle. It was where devotees live. And guests live in the outer areas, and devotees live in the inner area. And so it's constructed, you wouldn't even know it. It lets you know how to get to the inner area. You won't get there. It was designed in the same way as these Vedic houses. Anyway, Putana got right past Nanda Maharaj and right past Mother Jasoda, a complete stranger. But she was so attractive looking that Mother Jasoda let her go. And right by her little infant, what mother's going to do that? No mother's going to do that. Some stranger come in, a newborn child, a few days old, and go take care of the child. Sure, go right ahead. No mother's going to do that. But by Yogamaya's arrangement, Putana went right into the place where the crib of baby Krishna was. And when she saw the child, her motherly affection was invoked toward Krishna. And Krishna accepted that motherly affection. But she was also and primarily a demoness, so she took the opportunity to try to kill Krishna. Of course, we know what happened. That didn't happen. Krishna accepted the breast of Putana, but also along with taking her breast, he was sucking out her life air through that part of her body. And so she went screaming out of the house, "Please let go, please let go," and went running out of the house screaming. But her life air was being drawn out of her body, and her body assumed this, how many miles long? 9 miles long? 9 miles long. It's some big long demoness, big witch, with little baby Krishna up on top of this mountain of a big witch playing there. So Putana represents false doctrine, or persons who would bring a newcomer to the spiritual path and take them away from the spiritual path by presenting false teachings. So Krishna protects his surrendered devotee from, even in the beginning stages of spiritual practice, from false teachings, signified by his killing of the Putana demon, and so forth. So this is just a little literary embellishment where in one of these songs about protection, Krishna protects his devotee and helps them enter Braja Bhajan. I'll mention one more thing, Jiva Goswami, then I'm going to read from Prapanna Jivanamrita, and we'll sing the next song. So, Jiva Goswami, remember, Jiva Goswami, following his spiritual master, he accepted Rupa Goswami as his spiritual master, and Sanatan Goswami as his Shiksha Guru. So they were training him in the ways of surrender. And so he included this in his Bhakti Sandarbha. So in Bhakti Sandarbha, he explains this particular characteristic of protection as follows. He refers to a verse in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam where Lord Brahma is commenting to the demigods as Jai and Vijay, who have just been cursed, are plummeting downwards from the spiritual sky, from Vaikuntha, as gatekeepers into the material world to take their first birth as the sons of